Well, it is a creepy and curious world out there, and this year on The Morning Show we've been exploring the lives of the interesting creatures that we share this earth with. This morning we continue our path of discovery with Dr. Tommy Leung from the University of New England. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, Kelly.
Now, this is a truly disturbing, truly disturbing topic you picked this morning, the zombie fungus.
Yes, it is. It's a zombie fungus that is... Well, the one that I'm going to be talking about is found in ants in Thailand, but it's actually relatively widespread, and it's many different thousands of species infecting many different thousands of species of insects. And seeing how insects are probably the most diverse group of animals on this planet, this probably makes these fungi the most diverse group of fungi on this planet as well.
All right, so how does it work? What does it do to these poor little ants?
Well, normally ants have a very regimented behavior. You know, they just get on with the business of foraging, protecting the nest, taking care of the youngs, you know, doing all the stuff for the colony. But when one of these ants stumble upon a bunch of spores from this fungus and it gets infected, it starts behaving very, very strangely. So instead of being very focused and regimented on the job, it started acting as if it's kind of drunk. In fact, the research paper which documented this behavior called it, in air quotes, the drunkard's walk. Oh. As how these ants, they stumble around, not really... It is like as if they're drunk. And, you know, I'm sure most of us would know that one person who, when they get drunk, they have an insatiable urge to climb onto something. And that's what this ant does. It starts climbing onto things. But where is that person who might get a bit tipsy or a bit intoxicated and start climbing onto statues or trees? The worst that could happen to them is that they might end up in hospital the next morning. You know, most of them just end up with a hangover or a few bruises. This ant doesn't get to wake up at all. The fungus drives this ant up a shrub. It drives it up a very specific height, so it stops at about 25 centimeters, and it positions itself on the bottom of a leaf. And there it will grip one of the veins of the leaf with its mouth part, and it will stay there. In fact, the fungus does this thing to make sure that the ants stay there by dissolving the muscles that are responsible for controlling the mouth part. So once it's in place, it's fixed in place. And so over the course of about next 2 or 3 weeks, the fungus will start sprouting from the back of the ant's head. And you can see why the fungus has positioned the ant where it is, because it's well positioned to spray out all the spores onto the ground to infect all the other fellow ants.
And does the ant also try to, does it seem to realise what's happening? Does it display any sort of physical movements that indicate that it is starting to feel the effects?
Interestingly enough, ants does this very interesting thing. So there's, of course, a co-evolutionary relationship going on between the ant and the fungus. In fact, some recent study looking at the fossil record and looking at some peculiar bite marks on leaves indicate that this kind of post-parasite interaction between ants and this fungus has been going on for at least 40 million years. And so the ants has in turn evolved all kinds of ways of dealing with this fungus. And in fact, if the ant happens to stumble upon what's known as a non-lethal dose, so just a few spores to, you know, get its immune reaction going, but without actually killing it, the ant will actually hurry back to its colony. And all the other ants who notice that this ant has this fungus spore would actually come and actively get a piece of it, because... it wants to get exposed to it as well at a sublethal dose so that it can mount an immune reaction. So it's kind of like ants doing, well, vaccination or immunization.
Yeah. Now, if the ant, someone in the ant colony finds that another ant is starting to show the signs of it, do they try to remove them from the colony?
Well, usually the ant itself removes itself from the colony because it doesn't really want to sprout in the ant colony itself. Mm. The fungus has a very specific prescribed behavior that it prescribed to the ant, that which means go climb onto a shrub, hang yourself off the bottom of a leaf 25 centimeters off the ground, bite yourself around the vein, and then the fungus will take over. And in fact, by that stage, the ant is more like a fungus in ant's clothing. It's when you look inside the ant, it's all just fungal tissue. There's very little ants left.
Goodness me, we're talking to Dr. Tommy Leung on ABC New England Northwest about the zombie fungus this morning. How did the relationship develop? Do we have any idea? And you mentioned how long, but why the ants? Why does the fungus choose to inhabit the brain of this little ant?
Well, this particular group of fungus belongs to a group called the cordyceps. And in fact, there are many thousands of different species, each one of them infecting one very specific species of insects, and each of them have a different morphology. So there are some which infect grasshoppers, some that infect cicada, some that infect beetles, some that infect caterpillars. In fact, there is one species in China that infects caterpillar that has become, well, it's always been very popular as a kind of a traditional medicine, but recently the demand for it has just skyrocketed. They call it winter worm summer grass, and that's because, you know, it takes on the appearance of what looks like a caterpillar in winter, and when it gets infected by the fungus, it looks like a little spur of grass jutting out of the ground, but in fact it is a parasitic fungus. And there are actually, if you take a look for photos, there are entire shops dedicated to selling these fungus. And just a few of these fungus can fetch apparently quite high prices. And so as a result, this species that's actually becoming endangered. So imagine a zombie fungus that is becoming endangered. And of course, we don't know what kind of ecological ramification it has for the area if, you know, the fungus does become extinct, because, you know, it might be the only thing holding back these caterpillars.
Yeah. Wow, how extraordinary. And what does it do inside the ant's brain? How does it take hold? How does it actually, what's its sort of power over it?
Well, at the moment, people are still trying to understand exactly what the fungus does. Most of the focus on these cordyceps fungus of insects has been on chemicals that landed pharmaceutical properties that might be useful to us. But far less has been looking at what it actually does inside the insect. As far as we know at the moment, the fungus does produce certain chemicals that can alter the behavior of the insects, but at this stage, we don't know yet what are the exact chemicals and what are the neurological pathway that they alter inside the ant. Although I do understand there is a research team who is looking into that at the moment. There are species in China, there are species in Australia, there's a species in New Zealand, which they call the vegetable caterpillar, which is very similar to the one that is found in China. And so this is actually a very common thing. And much like what I said the last time I was on there, people think this is like some kind of like one-off weird science fiction-y kind of thing. This is actually a very common thing in nature. You could be walking by insects that are zombies and have been zombified by these fungus, and you might not even know it. But I understand that the one of the researchers involved in looking at this ant-infecting zombie fungus was actually the consultant of a recent video game called The Last of Us, which is about this zombie apocalypse and is very much inspired by these kind of fungus. Oh, actually, in fact, he was a consultant for this new movie out called World War Z.
Oh, the big Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah. So World War Z, or World War Z, if you want to be Australian about this pronunciation. But so apparently he was a consultant on that, and it's good to see horror movies starting to take inspirations from parasites, because the usual kind of zombie are getting tired. We want zombies with fungus sprouting out of the top of their head.
How quickly can it wipe out an entire colony?
Well, here's the thing. They don't actually wipe out the colony, because the colony is like really, really big. So they don't really take much of a toll on the colony as such, because it's composed of thousands of ants. And in fact, the fungus itself has an enemy. So much like last time I was on here talking about the crab castrating barnacle, which itself has a parasite, there is a parasitic fungus which itself infects the sprouting fruiting body of the fungus that comes out of the ant's head. So there's always another thing holding down the fungus, which is holding down the ant.
and what part is it? How does that survive, that other parasite that survives off the zombie fungus?
Well, it just it does basically the same thing to the zombie fungus as what the the other parasite I talk about that infects the Saccharina, which infects the crab, it castrates the fungus. So normally the fungus, the bits that grows out of the ant is the reproductive bits that are responsible for producing and dispersing the spore. Well, this particular fungus, hyperparasitic fungus, actually latches onto that and just consume all the resources that would normally be produced into kind of ant-infecting zombie fungus spore.
It's so disturbing.
The world is a beautifully horrible place. Well, there are other fungus that are, well, other fungi that are used for insect pest control. So they're used as like biological pesticides. So there are certain genus called, for example, Metarhizium, which is one of these genus that are used to control grasshoppers or caterpillars and such, depending on the species. In fact, some research has been done on those particular genus, and they found that a single gene could make the difference between having the fungus being a generalist parasite as opposed to being a specialist parasite. So I wrote about this on the Parasite of the Day blog a few years ago about a particular species of this fungus that infects grasshoppers and cricket. And when the researchers compared it with a related species that infect a wide range of insects, they found that it was just a single gene that was responsible for its specificity. So when they swap that gene around with the generalist species, the specialist species become the generalist species again, because it's able to recognize a wider range of hydrocarbon that are presented on the surface of insects.
Wow. So I guess around the world, how much work is the ordinary fungus doing to control different types of insects and problems?
We don't know. That's like we don't really know. There hasn't been enough quantification. Most of the research has been done on either actually describing them. Only very few of these fungi have been studied in great details in an ecological context. So at this point, there needs to be more research done on just the ecological role that these particular fungal parasites, or in fact just the role that parasites play in our ecosystems.